Amen. Well, we started off in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is it's not revelations, plural, but is revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's revealing Him. The first part of the book of Revelation up here until chapter 4 is basically talking about church history. What prophetically, of course, we were in around 100 A.D. when this book was written by the Apostle John. It is written in Greek, Koine Greek, and I've decided to go from Greek. I'll be not reading Greek to you, but I'm just going to teach it from my doctor's thesis, because all of my notes are in that. And I'll go and just translate it to you. As you go, you follow in whatever translation you have. And I think it'll work out. Anyway, John received a revelation from the Lord describing what was going to happen all during the church age. That's the seven churches of Asia. It was prophetically, we looked at those, what would happen. What age do we live in today? What church age do we live in today?
Laodicean
age. That's the very end of it. The church age. The church started when the Lord called it out. He empowered it on the day of Pentecost to carry out His truth until the end of this age. The whole reason for the tribulation period is what? What's the reason for it? To bring Israel back to God. To bring Israel back to God. That's the purpose of it. We look all the way through, if you look at this map of God's plan, the ages, we see how God has dealt with man in different times. Here we have when God divided the earth, in days of Peleg, God divided the earth, and He confused the languages. All right? God called out Abraham to go into the land of Canaan. He called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and said, go here where I'm going to show you the land I'm going to give to you. Did Abraham ever get the promises? Did he ever receive the promises? No, but he believed them. To have his children ever receive all of those promises? Never happened. But they will be kept because they're kept by the person of God. God doesn't lie, does He? These promises were promised to Abraham. This Abrahamic promise, and with the nation of Israel. Israel went into Egyptian bondage. That's when they built up as a nation down in Egypt. All right? God called them out of there. He gave them the law by Moses. And Israel never did keep the law. We know that. There were some in Israel that were faithful all the way through the age. We find that, of course, the Messiah was going to come out of Israel, wasn't he? And they were the administrators of God's kingdom until He called out His people. Basically, He took over His kingdom when He rode into Jerusalem. We know some of the things because one of the acts that He played right there when He went into Jerusalem and when He took over His kingdom, basically, He had His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. They accepted Him. The day was prophesied from the book of Daniel when this would actually happen. It happened just on time. He went in there and. Our word bank, the word bank, where does that come from? What does the word bank come from? What's the root of it? It's bench. All right, in the pagan temples, they would have a bench set up where a priest, would sit there and he would exchange money. You could come and put your money in the bank at the bench. All right? If this priest proved to be unfaithful in his duties, you got interest on your money, you could come and get your money whenever you wanted to and get it, and it would be there. You were guaranteed that. These priests in these pagan temples, this was a pagan temple now. This wasn't a temple of God. These were pagan temples. But if they became unfaithful
in their duties, they would go bankrupt. Our word bankrupt means a broken bench. They would have their bench turned over and broken. They would be flogged or beaten publicly, and later on, they would even crucify them. It was a death penalty. So they had to be faithful. When Jesus walked into the temple area where the money changers were, that was the banks of the day. And he did what to the benches? He turned over, and what did he do to the people? He flogged them. Who was the head of all of this? Who was the head over all of this money changing and everything? The high priest. He took the authority away from the high priest and took it upon himself. He said, "You've made my house a what? A den of thieves," which they had.
So that
was not a pagan temple, but he turned the benches over. They had made this house a house of merchandise. The temple of God was not supposed to have banks in it. This was their own ideas. And they were making money on this. And they were not faithful to God. Israel was unfaithful. In John the third chapter, of course, now John was written in the later part of the Lord's ministry, but John the third chapter, we have a Sanhedrin member and a Pharisee coming to Jesus by night, probably with an escort, all right? And Jesus condemned him and condemned the Sanhedrin court and the Pharisaical people. He told them they needed to be born again. Simple as that. You need to be born again. And they knew what that practice was, too, because the proselytes that came into the nation of Israel, when they went through the training program, they went before the synagogue, they had to get up and stand up and answer the prayers. Then, if everything was okay, they okayed it. They shaved every hair off of their head and their body and everything else, arms, the whole body, and they would be baptized. They were immersed. And they call that being born again. So Nicodemus knew very well what being born again was. Not that, when you're going to get from the class this morning. When a leper contacted leprosy, he was cut off from the covenant people of God. Outside. He never got to come in. All right? Anymore. If, perchance, he was healed of leprosy, the leprosy left him. Leprosy was looked upon as a plague from God. And the only way that you could get over leprosy, basically, was by the grace of God. If the leper recovered from his leprosy, now he had been cut off from the people of God. He was inspected. He went before the priest. He had already been rejected because his name was already in the book of rejection, okay? They knew who he was. He's a leper. He could never have anything to do with the economy of God and God's covenant people again. If anyone came near him, what did he have to do? Okay. Had to cry, unclean, unclean. All right. Now if he was healed, okay, they took him. They inspected him. After a period of time, they shaved all the hair off of his head, eyebrows, all of his body. And he was immersed, baptized, washed. All right? 1 week later, 7 days later, they checked him all out again. They shaved him again, and they dipped him again. And that time, he was baptized anew into the kingdom of God. He was once again accepted into the full fellowship of the community of Jehovah. All right? So this is what it's all about now. Nicodemus knew all of these things. He knew all of this. This was an old hat to him. He had done this many times. Okay? And Jesus, we have in Matthew, the fourth chapter, we have a leper being cleansed. And what did he tell him to do? You go to the priest and show yourself. Go through all this cleansing and everything. They knew this. And the messianic credentials of the Messiah were what? The powers to heal, especially the blind and the lepers, and so on and so forth. All right. So Israel has been condemned. Israel was set aside. They were dispersed, Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19. And then it says in the last days, Ezekiel 36, 20 through 24, Israel will be regathered. We just finished looking at the regathering of Israel on a video. That was not done by Christian people. Who was it done by? The Jews. They're wanting to go home. They're wanting to go home. God's calling them to go home. They're looking for their Messiah. they're going to have a false Messiah, aren't they? A false, an anti-Christos, Antichrist. What does Antichrist mean? In the place of, or against, or instead of. All right. Now, we have the rapture taking place. That's where we are. Now we're going to find out what's going on in heaven. That's where the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation is. Now we have a heavenly scene. A heavenly scene. Brother Carl Farrar, my teacher, calls this book the title deed to the material creation of God. The doom that shall come upon the usurpers of that deed, and these judgments, when finished, will bring the earth out from under the dominion and the power of Satan and declare Christ as its rightful ruler and owner. John 3:16, how does it take off? For God so loved the what? The cosmos, the world system, the whole universe. That he gave his only begotten Son. He's not going to redeem mankind, but the whole material world back to himself. I preached a sermon one time, matter really matters to God. Matter really matters to God. And it does. Matter really matters to God. Where did the whole creation in the world, of the universe, where did it come from? From God. He spoke it into existence. It came from him. And he's going to redeem it back to himself. All right? Now let's look at some of these things. I'm going to read it to you from Greek translation. All right? And I saw, as a vision. Okay? It comes from the word eidon, comes horao. It means to see with your mind's eye. Okay? And I saw as a vision. Upon the right side of the one sitting upon the throne, all right, the right side of the one sitting upon the throne, the book. This is the word biblion. This word book here actually is a scroll. What we have books today are codexes, all right. The Hebrew book was a scroll. All right, he was a scroll. He was different. We saw some of those scrolls on the video that we had. It's a roll. It's rolled out like this. It's rolled up on two sticks, basically, and rolled out, and you find the place where you want to read. Now, this is a scroll that it's talking about. This is not a codex. It's a scroll. And this scroll is sealed with how many seals? Seven seals. Now, back in Roman history and the Greek culture, all right, any will, if it was a legal will, it was sealed with how many seals? Seven seals. And no one could touch that scroll or that book except the heir or the executor of the will. If anybody else touched it, or open those seals, they were dead meat. They were immediately in jeopardy of their lives because it was death sentence if you opened anyone else's will, anybody else's mail, so to speak. All right? Behold, at the right side of the one sitting upon the throne, a scroll having been written, it says, Esoten within, all right, and on the backside. On the front and the back. Now, when God originally wrote the law, what we call the 10 words, the Decalogue. Decalogue means what? 10 words. That's what it means. We call it the 10 words. When he originally wrote it, he provided the material and he wrote upon the material. While Moses was up on the mountain receiving this 10 words of the Decalogue or the law, Israel was down fooling around at the foot of the mountain. After God had finished, he told Moses, you better go down there. And as a matter of fact, just stand back and I'm going to kill them all. And Moses interceded and said, no, don't do it, because the rest of the world will say you took them out here and you killed them. And you made your promises so many hundreds of years, and you got to keep your promises, Lord. and Moses interceded. He was a type of our intercessor, which is Christ. When he went down on the mountain, he broke the law because they had broken the law. He didn't get mad and throw it down. He broke the law to figuratively show them what they had already done. And then when he went back up on the mountain to receive the law again, he had to provide the material. God provided the material first time. Now he's going to provide the material because he was a mediator of the new covenant of God. All right? This is kind of like a scroll like that. It was written within and on the backside. Having been sealed with seals, the word phragisin, seals seven, epta. All right, seals seven. All right. John 1:14 does what? John 1:14, kaihologo sarx agenito. That's it. All right. And the word flesh he became. All right, the word. And who's the word? Jehovah. Jehovah means he who shall become. Comes from the Hebrew word hachyah, which is a verb. It means to become. All right? And the one who shall become. The fulfillment of the Jehovah title was in John 1:14. And the word, flesh, he became. Third person singular. Second aorist, indicative and middle voice. He did it for himself. God brought himself into this world through a woman. The seed of the woman. All right? Now here we have it. The seal, seven seals. Now God is going to redeem his creation back to himself. He's going to redeem that matter back to himself. All right? In Romans 8 and verse 22, what does it say there? Romans 8 and 22. Something like that the creation itself groans for the redemption of the sons of man. All right? When mankind sinned in that garden, he cataclysmically affected every bit of his kingdom. The animals are subject to it. The animals are subject to it. We have the animal kingdom today, and it is especially out in the ocean. How many of you ever gone out in the ocean, been fishing or anything? I'm going to tell you what, it's dog eat dog out there. Something's living off of something else. And you know what caused all of that? That little act that Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. That's what caused all that. We look over there in the millennial kingdom of God when God will rule on this earth. Israel actually will rule as his administrator on this earth. What's going to happen between the lion and the lamb and the barracuda and the great white shark and all of them? They're going to live at peace, aren't they? We're going to be all living at peace. Everything's going to get along with everybody else. All right. It's going to be free from the dominion of Satan and his little hellish imps. 5 and 2. Let's look at that. There are a lot of cross references to things here. From 5 and 1. And again, and Kai Aidon, and behold, I saw again, as in a vision, angelon. We got our word angel right out of this. What does the word angel mean, angelos?
Messenger.
I saw a messenger. Ek kiron, strong. Eskaron, strong. Powerful. And then it says caruson ton, caruso. You ever hear of the great singer called Caruso? Did you know that his name came right out of the Greek word for to preach? Caruso. Proclaiming, preaching. In a voice, megale, mega. When you mega-size something, what do you do? Make it great big. All right? In a voice, or in a sound great. Up on Mount Sinai, why did Israel become so frightened? They heard great sounds, great noises like thunder, like a rushing mighty flood, trumpets blasting all at the same time. The sky was just rolling. scared them to death. They said, let's just go back over here. Moses, you go up there. You just be our representative. We don't even want to be around any of this. All right? Proclaiming in a voice great, a sound great, who, axios, who is worthy? Go to Daniel 5:25-28. Who is worthy? Axios. To open up the scroll and to loosen the seals of it. All right. Daniel 5:25-28. Young lady, are you over there already? 28. 5:25. Daniel 5:25-28. Okay. Yeah, that's many, many tickle you farson. All right. Yes, please.
Now, this is the inscription that was written out. Many, many tickle
you farson. Pharisee comes from that word. Pharisee, that means to divide. All right. When the Lord said in the days of Peleg, that word Peleg means to divide. All right, go ahead.
This is the interpretation of the message. Many, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tegel, you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Paris, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians.
All right. The Lord gave a message. Oh, handwritten on the wall with a handwriting on the wall. You've heard that old story before. And it said, many, many tickle you farson, is what he said. And it was weighed and found wanting and divided. All right, weighed and weighed, found wanted and divided. He didn't weigh enough. He wasn't worthy. He didn't weigh enough. Many times in ancient kingdoms, they would take their king or potentate and they would weigh him on a scale. I don't know if you know this or not, but if he gained a lot of weight sometimes from year to year, sometimes they'd say he wasn't worthy because he wasn't doing his job. He wasn't working. But they'd weigh him. And if he was worthy of being a king, they would give him his weight in gold. Weigh his weight back to him in gold every year. All right? Now, this man was too light to weigh down the scales. He was found wanting. But this one here, Axios, it says to weigh down the scales, he is worthy. All right? He is worthy. Now remember, the only person that can open up this seven-sealed book, scroll, which is a title deed, this is a will, is whom? The executor? Or the one? The heir. The executor or the heir. John 1:1 says, in the beginning kept on being the Word, or Jehovah, the word there. You know, the Jews didn't speak their language for so many years. And after God gave them the law of Moses, they were afraid to even say the name of Jehovah, so they never knew how to say it. They referred to him as the word or the name or Adonai. Okay? So when John wrote the gospel according to John, that was a Hebraism. That wasn't Greek. It was a Hebraism. It said, in archaein ho logos, in beginning, kept on being, eternally kept on being. And by the way, it's singular there. In Genesis, it's barashith bara. Elohim eth ha-shamayim ve-eth ha-aretz. It says in beginnings, plural. That's a plural word. One of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. He did a lot of stuff, a lot of things back in eternity. In one of the beginnings, he created the heavens and the earth. The word heavens there, ha-shamayim, comes from ha, the, my, which is waters, im is plural, okay? Hashemayim. The Hebrews didn't really have a word for universe, and that word was substituted for universe. He created the universe. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the what? Cosmos, the universe, that he gave his only begotten Son. All right? Look at this. Seven sealed book. All right, the scroll. To loosen up the seals of it. Now, this is what's taking place in heaven. After the rapture, what's taking place on earth? We're going to find out sooner. I mean, a little later, that is. too soon. I think we begin to see it here today. All right. In beginning kept on being the Word, which is the name Jehovah. And the Word kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Kai ho logos ein proston theon is what it says. And the Word kept on being toward the God, inseparable from God. Did Jesus ever cease being God when he was on earth? No. He was God-man. All right. And then the last part of that, the last sentence in that, John 1 and 1, it says, and the Word or God, whichever way you want to put it, it's predicate nominative, that part of the sentence. It says, and the Word, or because the Word kept on being God, or because God kept on being the Word, whichever way you want to put it. Number, gender, and case is the same on both sides of that linking verb. This is the same person it's talking about. The Word and God are one and the same. All right? Inseparable. John 1:14 says, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh, he became. And how did we see God? John 1:14. Let's look at it for just a moment. Look at just a moment. John 1:14 and 1:18. This is who we're talking about here in this verse right here in the book of Revelation. Terry. Yeah, 1:14.
And the Word flesh became and
he dwelt. That word dwelt there is skene, which means tabernacled. Tabernacled.
T-A-B-E-R-N-A-C-L-E-D.
Uh-huh, tabernacled.
Among us. And we beheld the glory of him. Glory as and only begotten from the Father, full of grace and of truth.
All right, number 1:18 now. 1:18, just down a little bit further.
God, no man has ever seen, never, the only begotten God.
The only begotten God.
The one being in the bosom of the Father.
The one being in the bosom of the Father, inseparable. When the Father, when Jesus tasted death on the cross of Calvary, I can guarantee you the Father felt it. And the Holy Spirit did too. The Godhead is inseparable. They are one God. There aren't three of them. They're one God. They're triune. All right? But they're inseparable. It says, the only begotten God. What does God beget? When God begets something, what do you think he'd beget? God. Simple as that. All right? When he begat himself on this earth, he begat himself, the Son. The Eternal Son. All right? Go on, Terry. No, well, this...
In the bosom of the Father,
the one being in the bosom of the Father, constantly being.
Yeah, okay. God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one declared...
Declared him. Actually, what it says, he led himself out. It comes from ekenago in Greek, which means out, to lead. Himself out. He led himself out. Middle voice again, just like John 1:14. Middle voice. God led himself out of eternity into space and time because matter really matters to God. He was going to be related to his creation so he could redeem it back. All right. The whole book of Ruth is written for one thing, to tell us about the kinsman redeemer. The Megillah. All right. All right. 5 and verse 3. And no one... He kept on being qualified or able. That word dynamis comes from that. Dynamis in Greek comes, our word dynamite comes from that word. Is dynamite powerful? Pretty powerful, isn't it? All right. And no one, he kept on being, third person singular, perfect indicative passive, kept on being able or qualified in the heaven, Hashemayim in Hebrew, Urano in Greek, all right, in heaven, neither, epites gaze upon the earth, all right? Nor down under, hypo kato, all right? Down under, down below the earth, all right? Not, let me show you what this means. This Greek is really neat. Here's the earth, all right? Where is down under the earth? Yonder, right there. Here's the earth, not in the earth, but down under the earth. Where is heaven?
North.
north. Where is hell? Evidently, south. All right? Down under the earth. That places it where it is, down under the earth, way out yonder in space somewhere. All right? Here we have the first heaven and the second heaven where the stars are and third heaven where the abode of God is, and probably out here some places where hell is. It was called Sheol in the Old Testament. Sheol. Sheol, what's the literally, what's the root of that word mean? Sheol. Sheol.
The place
ask about. Means to ask for. At Sheol, the word Saul, the name Saul, Saul means the one asked for. Israel asked for a king, so God gave him one asked for. All right? Simple as that. God does things like that. He's got a sense of humor. All right? The place asked about, Sheol. Before the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was a place called Paradise. The word paradise comes all the way from Persian. All right? Someplace out yonder, there was a place where the redeemed weren't really redeemed yet, were they? Before the cross of Calvary and before the resurrection. They weren't really redeemed. But they were in a place called Abraham's bosom. All right? Or paradise. Paradise.
Now they don't go to paradise.
No. Heaven, yeah. And over on the other side was the place of torments. All right? Luke 16th chapter is basically the only idea we have of this. Luke 16th chapter is not a parable. It is a historical event that really actually happened. Okay, a lot of people call it a parable. It wasn't. Rich man and Lazarus. Rich man, Dives. Actually, Nineveh was his name in some of the original manuscripts. And then when the Lord died, his soul went down here. He took them with him up to the third heaven. All right? Paradise was moved. All right? It says in the Word of God, hell was enlarged.
Okay. Did he do that in those 3 days?
Yeah, during that period of time. All right? Neither down under, hipokato. The original language has got a lot to say about our theology sometimes. Down under, tasgase, the earth. And then it says to open up the scroll, nor to see it. All right, who are the only ones that have this scroll? This is a will. All right, this is a legal document that we're talking about. This is a will. All right, the Bible talks about a will in the book of Hebrews, doesn't it? Talks about in the Old Testament, the word for covenant was what? An Old Testament. What was it? Berith. All right, Berith. Berith. What does Berith mean?
Covenant.
What does it mean, literally? What does it mean?
Promise.
What?
A promise.
No. It means to cut. That's what it really means. It means to cut or divide. Okay? In the New Testament, the word covenant is diatheke, which means the same thing. It means to place apart, split, divide. All right? In the Old Testament, when they made a covenant, a berith with one another, they would take animals, they'd kill them, they'd put them on one pallet over here, one half of them, the other half, and they'd walk down the middle of them and give each other the shoe. Really weird. They did some weird things. All right, but that was a cutting. That's where the word comes from. And it also, the word diatheke basically means the same thing. Okay? Now, this covenant, this will is a covenant. Now, when did the will take place? Now, when did the covenant of salvation... God knew in His mind back in eternity past, didn't He? Everybody that would be saved, He knew all of our names. They were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before, actually, even the foundation of the earth, before He ever put it together. All right? He had all this figured out to begin with, all the way back here. It said, all of this happened back here in His mind. But, as John 1:14 says... The one who shall become, became. In John 1:18, it said he let himself out. Terry, could you tell him? Okay. Tell him I'm recording the class and they're getting on the recording. Okay. where was I? Not the covenant. This covenant, thank you, Terry. Yeah. The covenant, it says in the book of Hebrews, it's not in effect until the death of the testator. All right? Now, for God to redeem us and be related to His creation, things had to happen. All right? When God created Adam, all right? Ha-Adam, the Adam, all right? Adam. He created Adam, and He took from Adam sides, plural, not side, but sides, plural. He took from Adam and He made what? He took from Ish and He made Isha. What does Isha mean? Out of man. All right. It says God formed man as he formed the dust of the ground, and He breathed into him the breathings of lives. Okay. The breathings of lives. And then at a later time, it says that He took man. He found out he was lonesome. And He took him and put him to sleep. He literally, it says He hypnotized him. He hypnotized him, put him into a deep hypnotic trance, and He took from his sides and He made woman, okay, out of man. So here we have man, a primary creation of God, and we have woman, a secondary creation of God, out of man, okay? But they all came out of God, didn't they? Now in Genesis 3:15, there was a promise. The promise was, and threat. He's talking to Satan there, and He's talking to the human race, talking to the woman, mankind. He said that I will put active hatred between your seed, the seed of whom? Of Satan. And between her seed, the seed of the woman. All right. And it says, you will bruise him as to the heel, but he shall bruise you as to the head. You will deal a crippling blow to him, but he will deal a death-dealing blow to you. All right? Now, God experienced in person. Now, God is omniscient. We know that, don't we? He knows everything. God didn't have to experience what it was being a man. He knew that already. If He's omniscient, He does. But for whose sake was that? That we would know that God knows. All right? That we would know that God knows this. He knew this already. But He did live in the person of Jesus Christ as a seed of the woman. Now, as in Adam, what? All die. All right? Now, Adam, when he, just after the curse had taken place in Genesis, I think it's 3 and 20, it says that he named the woman. He gave the woman a name. Her name was out of man before, Isha, but now he gives her a new name. What was Eve's second name? Eve. Eva. All right. And what does that mean? It means living. He didn't call her dying. He called her living. All right? Now, they had a child. And the very next chapter, it says that the man had relations with his wife, and that she brought forth a son, and they called him Gotten. Gotten. Cain. And Eve pops up and says, I have gotten a man, even the Lord. I've gotten a Messiah. We were promised a Messiah. Here he is. But that was a disappointment. Because he was a murderer. There was when they saw the end result of their sin. It's when they saw that son. Because that's the first time they ever saw death. They saw death in the human race. They were clothed with animals, skins, that had to die before. That typified the one that was coming. All right? The seed of the woman would be, and if you look in Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, you're going to see a different lineage than you do in the Gospel according to Luke. Why? Matthew gives Joseph's lineage. Luke gives Mary's lineage. That's the lineage that Jesus came through. Jesus was legally the heir to Joseph's kingdom. Joseph was supposed to be on the throne of Israel, not Esau's descendant. Herod was Esau's descendants. In Israel, who's supposed to be on the throne? The sons of Aaron or the sons of Jacob? The sons of Esau are the sons of Jacob. Which one's the promised son? Jacob. But who was on the throne? Herod's descendants. Esau's descendant. The wrong guy was on the throne. Joseph should have been on the throne. But he wasn't on there. Esau had bought the throne. Now let's look here a little bit further. We got some background. In heaven on the earth, no one was found worthy to unroll the scroll and to see it. All right? Only the heir. Only the heir could do it. And the heir is the Son of God. And it's called the Huios. The heir. Huios is not technon. Technon means born son. Napios in Greek means someone that's newly born. Braphos. All of these are terms. But the word Huios means the heir. This is the heir. Only the heir can open up this or the executor of the will. And here we have the heir and executor, one and the same. 5 and verse 4. And I kept on weeping much, because no one worthy, he was found to open up the scroll, nor to see it. All right. Number 5. And one out of the elders. All right, presbyteron. We got a word presbytery out of this. When we get ready to ordain somebody, we ask a presbytery to come forward. Sometimes from other churches, sometimes the elders or the ordained ones in the church. We got a word presbytery right out of this word elders. And he says to me, one out of the elders, not you weep. Behold. He conquered, or the one conquering, the lion, the one out of the tribe, the phylace, the tribe of Judah, the root of David. All right? He said, look here. Now, Brother John, have you got to read that verse for us right there from New American Standard?
Verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book
and
its seven seals.
All right. The lion of the tribe of Judah. All right. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, look at your little map there that I gave you, your little map of Israel around the tabernacle. Okay? Look at that. See that map there? That's this little thing right here. All right? Let's look here. Now, where is a lion? Look at the four flags. How many of you knew Israel had four flags? The tribes of Israel had four flags. Okay? Up here to the north is the eagle. All right? Now, by the way, these portray the four different Gospels. Which one wrote about Jesus as the king?
Matthew.
All right. Now let's look over here, the calf. All right, the calf. All right, that's in the west. All right. Which one wrote about Jesus as the servant? Which one? Mark. All right. Now let's look down at the bottom. We have the head of a man. Which gospel wrote about Jesus as the Son of Man? Luke. All right. Now let's go here of the lion of the tribe of Judah. What was the lion? The king of Israel, Matthew. All right. So we have the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. All right. That's who stood on that side. And it's on the east side. All right. Where's Jesus coming back? By the way, from the east. All right. Just think about those for a minute. By the way, that map is the only one of those I think there is, because I wrote it down, and then one of my students put it on a computer graph, and that's how it is. I, I drew the picture of it by hand. I have never seen one of these. Have you ever seen one of these anyplace else? I don't think there is one. It's the only one that I know of. All right. And the elders, one out of the elders says to me, stop weeping. The one that overcame, the lion, the leon. What does the word leon mean, by the way? Leon. Sharp eyes. Sharp eyes. Have you ever heard about the cats being able to see in the dark and all of that? Sharp eyes, okay? The one out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. All right, the root of David. Isaiah 11 and 10, Ezekiel 1, 4 through 10. And the root of David. About David a lot. What does David mean? Beloved. You got that one down, David. Beloved one. All right. Beloved one. The root of David. A root out of dry ground. Nathanael said, when he was talking to the other church members, the other disciples, the other part of the ecclesia, ones called out, what did he say about Nazareth? Nazareth, there was a rabbi school there. What did he say about Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth. All right. What was going to come out of Nazareth? All right. The Messiah was going to come out of Nazareth. He was going to be born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. And Jesus said what? I am the bread of life, the true bread that come down out of heaven. Now, Jesus, he was the eternal father of David. Do you know that? The Bible calls Jesus the father of eternity. All right. Now, David's son is the same one. But what did David call his son? Lord, Jehovah, Adonai, the name or the word. All right? Hebrews 7:14, Isaiah 11:1 and verse 10, Romans 15 and verse 12, Revelation 22:16. These are all cross references to this, along with Matthew 22:41 through 46. All right. 5 and verse 6. The marks of the wounds of his love. That's what I have down there. Entitled on this word, The Marks of the Wounds of His Love. And behold, in the middle of the throne, right in the middle of the throne, thronos, our word throne comes right out of throne in Greek, okay? And the four living ones, living beings, and in the middle of the elders, all right, a lamb. Arnion is what the word is, Arnion. Arnion is the sacrificial lamb. By the way, the angels that appeared to the shepherds there in Bethlehem, out in the field from Bethlehem, all right, the house of bread, all this is coming together, see? The house of bread now. What herd of sheep were they herding? They were herding the sacrificial lambs for sacrifice. These lambs, the ones marked for the sacrifice. Because they had no blemishes upon them. This is where that whole shepherd sheep were guarded there. All right, by these special shepherds. These were special shepherds. They weren't just any shepherds. All right. Elders, there was a lamb, a sacrificial lamb. The one that's marked for sacrifice. The Word of God says that Jesus stood as a lamb slain from when? From eternity past. All right, this is the lamb. And then it said, having stood as having been slain. Having been slain. It said, having carita. The word carrot. The word carrot in English, it comes from the word horn. What does a carrot look like? Horn. Carita. All right. It's a horn. All right. Horn seven. What does a horn stand for in the Bible? Strength and power. Seven stands for what in the Bible? Power and perfection. All right? So we have perfect power. So what does this seven horns mean? This means omnipotence. The Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, that is omnipotent, all-powerful. Having horns, seven, and ophthalmos. Have you ever gone to an ophthalmologist? That's what the word here means. Ophthalmologist is an eye doctor, someone that studies eyes. Having eyes, seven, all right? Which is, it says, they are the seven spirits of the God, all right? So now we have the omnipowerful God and we have the omniscient God that knows it all. All right? He knows everything. The seven eyes and the seven spirits. Having been sent forth with authority unto the earth. Unto the earth. Gay. All right? That's something gay. When you're born again, it says you're born from above, doesn't it? The word saint is what in the Bible? New Testament word, hagios. You know what that word literally means? Not of earth. Not of earth. When you're born the first time, you're born of earth. You're born of terra. You're born of earth. All right? The word is terra in Latin, and it means territory and region. Regio in Latin also. Down into the earth region. God came down into the earth. He was sent forth with authority. The book of Hebrews, whoever the writer of the book of Hebrews was, said that Jesus was our apostle, our great apostle. Apostle, apostello. Comes from apo, that means to send out. Stello means to send out with authority. And here we have this word again. Apostle. One sent out with authority. It's talking about Jesus. All right? Five and seven. And he came, and he has taken out of the right hand of the one sitting upon the throne. He's taken something out of the right hand of the one sitting upon the throne. This one back over here in verse 5 and verse 1. Having taken it. Having taken. That's perfect tense. Verse 5 and 8. Now, look at this. Here we have praise sung to the Lamb by those who were redeemed by His blood. All right? Praise sung to the Lamb by those who are received or were redeemed. And when he received the scroll, now he's got the scroll, and the four living beings and the 24 presbyteros, presbyteroi, the elders, they fell flat, comes from pepto. They stumbled instantly and fell down, inopion, down in the very presence of the sacrificial Lamb. Okay, the Lamb. Now this Lamb, John said, on the shore of the Jordan River, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." That's Jesus who he's talking about. Now here's this one and the same. Each one a harp and bowls, containers, golden. It says, being full of sacrificial incense, which is, they are the prayers of the saints. Go back to back over there to the tabernacle. Why did God want the tabernacle built? Why did he say he wanted the tabernacle built? I want to dwell with my people. Now, as you walk into that fenced area around here, and you have a copy now of what was going on around here, who the guys were. Now, look on that copy there and tell me who's all around the immediate area. Who? Levites. The Levites. They were the priests. They got to be in close proximity to God. But that fence was white, which stands for what in the Bible? Righteousness. Okay, you walk in there, in that gate there, and the first thing you see inside is what? Sacrificial altar. That's where the altars. The first time they ever had a sacrifice on that altar, they put the sacrifice out there, and what happened? It caught on fire. The fire came from God. Supposedly, according to tradition, they always kept that eternal fire going. Okay, they kept that eternal fire going all of that time. You see that font there? That's where they immersed the priests when they went into service, and then they washed their hands and their feet afterwards, and their faces, whatever. Then they'd walk into the holy place where the table of showbread was, where the altar of incense was, and where the candlestick was. And they had to take fire and incense off of that altar. That altar there, the coals on that altar were stained with the souls of animals. The Bible says the life or the soul is in the blood. Those animals, they put their hands on the head of those animals, and they would pray and confess their sins, and then they would slit the animal's soul, catch some of that blood, put it on those coals on that fire, and it would go up to God. Those coals were bloodstained because something innocent had paid for somebody else's sins. That stood for Jesus Christ all the time. Aaron had a couple of sons. Remember the boys? Nadab and Abihu? They made a shortcut. They took that altar of incense, or the incense thing that they were going to take into the holy place, and they got coals from someplace else. And the Bible calls it strange fire. Those coals were not stained by the blood of a sacrifice. They got over here,
right over in this area, right here between this baptismal font and that curtain there. And what happened to them?
The same fire that started and kindled the first sacrifice came out and killed them. Fire from Jehovah killed them. Zap. Gone. Only one way of salvation. It's not our way, it's God's way. All right? Each one had a harp and bowls. All right? Full of incense, which is the prayers of the saints. That whole tabernacle typifies Christ. And that first room in there typifies God's churches today. You want to get real serious with God, it's the prayers of His saints in His churches that go up to God in a special way. What came upon the church there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost was that Shekinah glory there. That Shekinah glory came upon that church and has never left it. It's there today. It's there today. His presence is with His churches today. All right, this figure of speech referring to the prayers of the saints simply means God answers the prayers of His people, Matthew 6 and 10. The prayers of God's people are sweet to the ears of our Lord. The priests in the Old Testament burned incense to God, and the sweet-smelling incense is a type of the prayers to God by His people today. God desires you to communicate with Him. We can address God as something that none of the Old Testament saints ever did. Who gave us that right? Jesus. He said, when you pray, He says, Father, because God is our Father. God desires communication with His loved ones. When you are far away from your family, what do? You either make phone calls or you write love letters to them, don't you? Our prayers are love letters to God. That's what they are. His book is a love letter to us. The life of Jesus Christ is a love letter to us. 9. A new song. The praise of redemption. And they ode. That's what the word ode comes from right there. Ode. And they sing an ode. Odes. All right? Odes new. All right? This is a real gospel song here now. Saying, worthy you are to receive the scroll, the scroll, and to open up the seals of it, because you were slain. All right? You were slain. Remember, He's worthy. He's weighed out. He weighs enough. All right? He's worthy. And you have purchased agorazomai. That's the word here. It means you bought back. It means to buy out of slavery. To the God, with the blood of you, out of all tribes and glosses and languages and people and ethnic backgrounds. All of them. With your blood, Haima, you have purchased every tribe, phylace, every glosse from every language and people and ethnic background. That's beautiful. And you made them to God, to the God of us, a kingdom. Basileo. All right? The word basilica, it means the pavement in the palace. All right? That comes right out of this Greek word, basilica. And then it says priests. Priests, and they shall reign. They shall be king over the earth. Boy, isn't that something? Kings over the earth. This is it. The theocratic kingdom. Kings over the earth, sitting on the throne with the Lord. And I saw and I heard. The word akue, acoustics come from that word. And I heard a voice, a sound of angels, many, many angels. Kuklo, around, encircling the throne. All right? The name Galilee in Greek means circle. Galilee was all the cities around the circle of that lake, that great lake. A throne, and of the living being. All right, living beings and the elders, and it kept on being the arithmetic, arithmos, the number of them, 10,000s of 10,000s and thousands of thousands. All right, myriads of myriads and kilos of kilos. All right, that's who it is. Myriads and myriads and kilos of kilos. Saying in a voice or sound great, worthy. Oxio. Remember what that meant? We have a song that we sang, a praise song, don't we? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the sacrificial Lamb. The one having been slain. This word having been slain there, that means violently slain. All right? Now, when Cain slew Abel, it's in the PL stem in Hebrew, and it slashed, he slew him terribly. He slew him viciously. All right? And that's what the term here is. Was Jesus viciously slain on the cross of Calvary? Viciously slain? What was done to him before he was slain on the cross of Calvary? He was beat almost to death. Having been slain to receive the power and the abundance of wisdom, Sophia, and might, and Time, honor. The word Timothy comes from that word right there. Honor and glory, doxa. Our word doxology comes right out of that word. And blessing. That means good words, blessings. Almost at the end of this chapter, we're going to finish it. The creation itself longs for the redemption of God. Romans 8 and 22. Are you anyone in the book of, near the book of Romans? Romans 8 and 22.
I know it says the whole earth groans.
The whole earth groans. The creation groans. Let's look at it, though. The creation groans for what? Romans 8, 22. Are you there? What is it there? Just read the whole Romans 8.
I know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now.
Go on a little further.
Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, that hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees?
All right. Matter does matter to God. All of His universe, all of His cosmos does matter to Him. The deist, they say, there is a creator. The creator, the deity, created and then walked off and left it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The deity that created, the deos, that created the heavens and the earth loved it, the creation, and that he's going to redeem it back to himself. And even the creation itself, every created animals, you know, animals obey God, don't they? That's why they had innocent blood. They had innocent blood. They had sincere blood. Animals do what God tells them to do. All right? Those lambs that were all slain in the Old Testament, the turtle doves that had their heads pulled off, every one of them, they didn't do anything wrong. They died for us as innocent blood. And every created thing which is in the heaven and upon the earth and down under the earth and upon the sea and in the sea, all things I heard saying to the one sitting upon the throne and to the Lamb, blessing and honor and glory and the might unto the ages upon the ages for all eternity. For all eternity. And the four living beings, they kept on saying, Amen. Amen. That's an old word, isn't it? Where's that word come from? Amen. Amen. Where's it come from? Where's the etymology of that word? What language? It comes from Persian. And then it goes into Hebrew. Now it comes from Persian, it's Amen. It goes into Hebrew, it's Amen. It comes into Greek, it's Amen. Then it comes into English, and what is it? Amen. What does it mean? In Persian, it meant to prop up. Tent poles prop up a tent, don't they? When Israel received the law of God, they said, we'll stand behind it. They said, Amen. That's what they said. Now, these here said, Amen. The one's elders, they fell down and they worshipped. This completes what took place in heaven after the rapture. This completes what took place in heaven, and then we're going to go down to the earth. All right, we're going to go down and see what in the world's going on. Boy. The worship here that we will portray is undiluted worship. Now, we're not capable of today. We just aren't capable of this. Because we have the veil of our flesh standing in the way between us and God. The veil of that flesh is going to be taken away one of these days, and we will be pure in the sight of God, and we can give pure worship to God. Do you have any questions? I'm going to turn you loose on the world, go out and do something eternal this week. All right? Go out and do something, going to follow you in heaven. Do you have any questions? We'll start with 6 and verse 1 next week. The rise of the Antichrist, the Antichristos. All right? The rise of the Antichrist. Brother John, do you have any questions? No. All right. Shirley? No. Young lady, you have any questions? No. Brother David? All right. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, thank you so much for this knowledge we've gained tonight and the stories we've